ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في معنى الحديث: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. Respected ulama ikram, elders and sisters in Islam, indeed we are most thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for his wealth of iman that Allah ta'ala has given us. It is this very wealth of iman which shaitan had promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away from us and to lead us astray. So, in today's time, in today's era, there are many methods, many ways which in the plots of shayateen, plots of Dajjal, plots of the shayateen min al-jinnati wal nas as well, to steal our iman. And for example, if we look at the LGBT fitna, is not whether a person ends up gay or anything like that. That's not the actual objective. The objective is to normalize it. That even a person who is not have those tendencies, they will think to themselves that, you know, it's okay for that person, is their right, it's all right. So if you look at what the ulama ikram say and tell us, that if a person who drinks alcohol and they accept and they acknowledge that they're drinking alcohol and it is a sin, and that person still has iman, but that person is now a sinful believer, but they still have iman, they'll pass away with iman. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, that person will make istighfar before they pass away, Allah will forgive them. If that person doesn't make tawbah, if Allah ta'ala still wills, Allah ta'ala can forgive that person without them asking for tawbah also as well, for forgiveness. And if Allah ta'ala wills, may Allah ta'ala save us also and overlook all our shortcomings, if Allah ta'ala wills, Allah ta'ala will put that person into Jahannam, cleanse them of their sins, pay for their wrongs, and thereafter Allah ta'ala will put them into Jannah. But because that person had iman, Jahannam will never be theirs forever and ever. That person will go to Jannah inshallah. Either directly by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or either via Jahannam, but that person will go to Jannah. However, a person who says that now alcohol is halal, is permissible, they do not consume it themselves, but they say, no, it's okay, it's permissible, then that person is now out of the fold of Islam, because they have made now a haram, they have made it halal, and they have made it permissible. So, one of the many ways where our iman is under attack is in this field, in this mystical field, so to say. So, Mulana is asking if you could have a Q&A. I said, yeah, inshallah, we can have some question and answers. But I can start off with a question also, inshallah. What is the difference, or what is the opposite of black magic? Anybody, what's the opposite of black magic? Mulana? Some people might think that, you know, mine is going white magic. But actually, it was a trick question, you know. It was a trick question. So, what is the opposite of black magic? The opposite is ruqya. Magic, black, white, pink, purple, whatever it is, involves shirk. It involves shirk and associating parts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's time, recently, we've had the Harry Potter series. They made books, movies of it also as well. Those of us who are acquainted with it will understand that in that book, in that story, it might seem as just mere entertainment. But our ulama ikram have mentioned to us long time ago with regards to subliminal programming, where they do things in the media, but it is actually brainwashing us and encouraging our thoughts and our thinking and our aqidah in a different line. So in that book, if you're reading now, we will find that this guy, Harry Potter, he does magic. But you know what? He's a good guy, man. He's a good guy. He's not harming anybody. He's not attacking anybody. This is a child. He's doing some tricks for people. And when people are doing wrong, when the bad magicians and the bad wizards are coming about, Harry Potter is going to save the humanity and the people via his magic. By the magic that he's doing. So now good magic, bad magic. Black magic, white magic. When I was young, there was a Wizard of Oz. You know, I don't know if you know the Wizard of Oz. So in the Wizard of Oz as well, we will find that there is a witch, is the dark witch who does practices black magic, the evil witch of the West and the good witch of the East. I can't even remember what it was. However, it also gave us the perception of good magic and bad magic. But the reality is that any type of magic a person is doing, it will involve shirk to different levels and associating partners with to different levels. So, to the extent where if a person goes to a magician as well, they may be going now not to harm anybody else. I got a problem. As we mentioned some symptoms later on also in our talk, that a person maybe got a health problem or a medical problem or a financial problem which doesn't make sense. They're having bad dreams and all those type of things and so many problems they're having and they know they are affected. So they're going to go to a sangoma, to a magician. So that person themselves, the intention is not to make sihr, magic or tagati as you say in Zulu, that on anybody else. They don't want to harm anybody else. They're going there for shifa, for a problem which they are facing. So either the sangoma and the magician will do magic on their behalf, meaning that they will do the shirki action on their behalf and this person will pay for that. Or this person now themselves, what will happen is that he will be or she will be put to do an action of shirk. So I've got involved in Rukya in around 2015. And after I started Rukya, one of the ulama working with me, he told me, "Man, Molana, you telling us to read Quran and to do this treatment and, you know, so much of things to do. But, and must remember, I'm talking to an alim, a learned person. So he's saying, but, you know, my in-laws, they went to a Hindu priest. That my brother-in-law, when he was small, he had some problem, whatever it was, and the Hindu priest did something, and in quick, he was sorted out, he was better. Now, where to read? Now you're telling me I must read Surah Baqarah. I can't read Surah Fatiha properly, or need to read Surah Baqarah, Molana. What's your story, man? So, respected friends in Islam, we should understand, there is always a bigger picture. There are always more important things, and bigger things at play. So when a person goes to a magician, with all the problems that they have, so bigger shayateen come into play. So those shayateen will tell all these beginnings, these small shayateen, that, hey, leave these guys, leave them with their problem, stop troubling them. We will make them do such an action, which now will render this person out of the fold of Islam, knowingly or even unknowingly. We'll cut a black sheep, cut a black chicken. It is an offer of a jinn. It's an offer of the shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts sadaqah, any type of sadaqah. If you give cash a sadaqah, no problem. If you give clothing a sadaqah, no problem. Anything, there's no specifications. If a person wants to cut a sheep for sadaqah, no problem. We see even in our ibadah, in atiqah, in qurbani, there's no specification of a color of an animal. So when all those colors and everything come into specifications, you must know that that is now a problematic thing. It is now not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for who? For the jinn who are making specifics so they can differentiate between what is for Allah and what is for us. So knowingly or unknowingly, this person now will be doing an action of shirk. Or he'll be sitting with those people and taking help from those people who are doing shirk, even if they don't do the shirk themselves. So this person, all he's small. So if you've got a marital problem, it's a small problem in terms of the dunya. If you've got a health problem, it's a small problem. No matter how big your health problem is, it's a small problem in terms of the dunya. If you've got a financial problem, it's a small problem in terms of the dunya compared to the akhirah. Because now what's going to happen is that your problem will go away and mashallah, you're good. And my problem is gone. But because of the amal of shirk that I have done, now I'm out of the fold of Islam, either as I said, knowingly or even unknowingly. So it is now a trick of shaitan, as I mentioned earlier, that there's many ways and many avenues that shaitan has made and rolled to steal the iman of the Ibn Adam, of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this field, this is the way of shirk. There's a fine line in your treatment in terms of people treating themselves with mystical issues between iman, tawheed, and between shirk. So, respected friends, the question comes about, and we've all grown up with this mentality that, you know, I need this sheikh, I need that person who's got a special gift, I need that mulana to send his jinn to help me, I need one taweez, I need someone. I'm always dependent in this field. In this field, as we grow up, I'm always dependent. And from a childhood, we've always had that. A dependency on everybody. However, in this field, it's supposed to be the opposite way around. Our dependency only is supposed to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not on any makhluk and any creations. Now, before Ramadan, a lady in Pietermaritzburg, there was a lady, so she, you know, we have that Rukya helpline, you know. Person will send a message, then we'll send them the questionnaire, right? Which I'll come to later, how the questionnaire works. And then the person will send in the symptoms, what they're experiencing. Now, I have to ask you what you're experiencing. I do not know the unseen. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada hu Allah. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes we were sitting in one program, so a buddy of mine, he says, "Hey, Molana, I'm here in the bayan. Is it safe to sit in the bayan?" So I said, "No, Molana, no problem. To sit in a talk of Rukya, there is no risk. To learn Rukya, there is no risk. To practice Rukya for yourself and your family members, there is no risk. To the extent where if you learn Rukya, meaning learning how to diagnose a problem, there is no risk. And to tell somebody else what to do, there is no risk. Risk starts when one reads over another person with the intention of shifa for that person's problem, or they read over items that the person is going to use for their problem. So you are helping them in their battle, so then they are risk. Because whatever, if you are reading for somebody else who's affected, and they got sahiri, the magicians attacking them, those magicians are going to attack you also. It's like gangsterism, you know. I call my father, you call your father. I call my bras, you call your bras. You know how it goes. So in this way also, those are going to attack you. But we'll leave that for another discussion. The point I want to make, it's safe here to sit in the program. And we don't need that speciality. So the lady messages in, we send her the symptoms, the questionnaire, she sends in back all her symptoms, which she had a lot of. Her husband had a lot of. So then I responded, I sent her a kitab, a booklet, a treatment manual, with everything explained what needs to be done. If she had any questions on what she doesn't understand, she'll message back, "I don't understand this, or I don't understand that." Because sometimes even in this, although the treatment is simple and basic, it's easy, but it does confuse people who are affected as well, you know. So it might seem that, hey, why is this person being so foolish? It's so simple. But the shayateen blocked the mind. But anyway, khair. So I messaged her back, I sent some audio as well for a person to listen. Because sometimes we download audio for intention of shifa, but it doesn't have the effect. So example, if I download and I take some sheikh who has recited Qirat or Quran Sharif, and it won't have the same effect if that person had not made niyyah. So niyyah and intention is very, very crucial in the world of magic, in the world of jinn, in the world of all of these things and the shifa for it. So if I'm reading for intention of ibadah and tilawat, which is good, which is excellent, however, it's not going to have the same effect as when I add on the intention of shifa. Oh Allah, give me shifa, and oh Allah, return to sender. We come to that also just now. So that is why we send back an audio, because the person who has recited has made intention for rukya, so it will have the desired effect. So we met this lady now 2 months later after Ramadan. So she came there with her husband, so she's sitting there. Now she's telling me, "Hey, Maulana, you come very highly recommended." You know, she started praising me. So I said, "Listen to her, so see, sister, it's nothing about me. It's about the Quran, the Kalamullah, how to use it." And I was explaining to her a few things. And it's not out of humility, I'm talking out of reality. I have nothing. So anyway, she says, "Maulana, you know, we've had this problem for 5 years. Since all these problems. Before we had no problem. So you don't need a Maulana to tell me, 'Hey Maulana, where did the jadu and magic on me?' It's when all these unusual things happen to you. If before you were married, for example, you had no problem, and after, just when you got married, the problem started building up from there, then obviously somebody made sihr on you at that time. We had another person, he got a promotion in his company on a Friday. And he was 100% perfect. And Monday morning comes, what happens? By the time Monday comes, he's bedridden. He can't even move from his bed. So it's obvious somebody had did sihr on that person after he got the promotion. And it's logical now. You know, we come to so many things, but I'll sidetrack, but we'll keep on, you know, coming back, inshallah. So there's a question of who done it. Who done it? If, who done it, does it really make a difference? If I know the person who done it, does it make a difference? Right? So... but it's obviously somebody in our circles. No random person is going to make sihr on us. It's either going to be a family member, it's going to be a neighbor, it's going to be a business competitor, it's going to be a worker, or somebody you had an argument with or fight with. It's going to be someone, somewhere in your circle. It's obvious. But it doesn't matter who it is, because it's a spiritual battle. If you know a certain person can be sitting live outside your house and making sihr, so you'll call the police. These guys are here making sihr. So in my case, in the madrasa where I met in Escort, we had revered African girls there. So that is one of the reasons the shayateen was traveling. That's how I learned Rukya. I did not know anything of this field. But because forced into a situation where we were very badly affected, 10 out of 25 girls in the madrasa were fully possessed, specific attachment of the madrasa. So now I know the sangoma is sitting there, but if I call the police, they're going to say it's public property. They can sit on the pavement if they want to. If I go hit her, they're going to charge me for assault. If I kill her, they're going to charge me for murder. So what is the solution? I know who's doing this. I can see that sangoma there. Does it really help? Did it help me in any way? It didn't help me. So you can say, "No, Maulana, but I can stay away from those people." So sihr and magic can be done from a distance, from another country as well. You just make niyat and intention. And it's simple to understand. In social media today, you can travel the world in 5 minutes. Not around the world in 40 days. In 5 minutes, you can travel the world. One message is gone to all different countries. So, in the way of the shayateen, the world of the jinn, an intention, it can make sihr and magic on you from even a distance. So, it doesn't even help you there. What will help you? You're not in control of what, this is very important, you're not in control of the magicians and what people are doing. But you are in control of what you do yourself. And what you got to do? You got your iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the Qur'an al-Kareem. And the Qur'an al-Kareem is sifatullah ghair makhluk. It is our aqidah. It is a very crucial belief. As the Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, he was tortured and persecuted to keep this belief alive in Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. So just as my speech is mine, your speech is yours. And our speech is limited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. So the sifatullah, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are also like the dhat and the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah ta'ala is all powerful, so too His qualities are all powerful. And the kalamullah is the living miracle of mu'jaza of Nabi, the mu'jaza of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is with us till Qiyamah. And if you look at it more broad spectrum, that now is the sifat, is like having something of the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being with us. And there's nothing more powerful than this. The nur emanating from the Quran al-Kareem is superior to any other. So there's no such thing. It's only a shaitani infiltration to think and feel that now. They say in Urdu, they say kala jadu, napak jadu, or dirty magic, black magic, because they use filthy things by. That is why now we can't sort this thing out. You have to go by someone who delves and deals with the filthy things to sort your problem out. Never. That is an incorrect thinking. It is an incorrect belief also. We can, as I said, it can steal our iman also. As I said earlier, when you go to the Sangoma, even if you don't do anything shirky, they did everything for you. Right? But the minimum is going to be when a person leaves that person, there will be this in the heart, that Islam, that Quran, that Allah, the Sunnah, had no answer for my problem. It had no power. So a doubt, Mawlana, what is the masala? You have to go to the muftis, you know, and ask, when a person has doubt, what is the condition of the iman? Allah save us all. So that doubt is going to set in, and shaitan is going to use it against us. So, Allah has given us the Quran. We're going to read for shifa for ourselves. And we will make intention also that, oh Allah, return it to the sender, whoever it may be. But we don't say, no, Mawlana, we don't want to do jadu on everybody. So firstly, this is not jadu, this is not magic by you saying, oh Allah, return to sender. They don't say, no, Mawlana, but I don't want to hurt anybody. Yes, you don't want to hurt anybody. So we make dua to Allah, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. Oh Allah, suffice for them. For suffice me and my family from them in the level which you feel beneficial and correct. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. They are du'as in the sunnah. When we read kunut nazila, we are dambir diyarahum, we are cursing them, we are asking Allah to raise their house to the ground. So to make and to say, oh Allah, return to sender, to the jinn, the shayateen, return to the magician, and return to the one asking for magic to be done. It is crucial. Why? If they have done the magic, they are out of the forest. Lama makarafara Sulaymanu, walakinna shayateena kafaru yu'allimuna an-nasa sihr. So when they're delving in magic, is taking them out of the forest. So you're not having another Muslim, you're having somebody who's delving in magic. And magic, you have to do shirk to get magic done. Magic doesn't just work like that. You have to do shirk. Because you need the help of the shayateen. And they want you to praise them. So you make kalimat al-kufr and offerings of kufr to them. So, Allah's help is going to be with you. You are mazloom, you are oppressed. Example, you take dirt and throw on me. Right? I'll clean myself. You come throw another bucket of sand on me and dirt on me. I'll clean myself. You keep on... You are in a good... What? Position. But I'm the one who keep on cleaning. So if you are being repeatedly attacked, you have to say, oh Allah, give me shifa and return to sender. You have to fight back. You know, in the schools now, isn't it? What they say, they're having a campaign. Stop the bullying. Isn't it? Stop the bullying. Stop the bullying. Isn't it? Stop the bully. Because the bully can call your father, mother, police. He will never stop. She will never stop. But you just give them one slap back. Even if you are weaker, and you give them one step, or you push back, what's going to happen? They'll now regard you now as no more easy target. They're going to think twice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fight on your behalf in your oppressive situation. Ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. Fear the dua and the curse of who? Of an oppressed person. If people are making siyar on you, you are an oppressed person. So now coming back, we're saying, hey, Mawlana, but you know, I'm just an ordinary person. I never learned madrasa, alim course. I never go in Jama'at, I never be with Tasawwuf, I never do nothing, Mawlana, I don't know nothing. See, Quran, I'm a sinner, Mawlana. Yes, you are a sinner, maybe. However, you have iman. And you can say, oh Allah, see, I got this problem. I'm reading your kalam, your pure words, your infinite words. And through the barakah of this, solve my problem, and give me hidayat and tawfiq, the sin I'm involved in, take me out of that sin also. So it can be a means of your hidayat also. So we might doubt ourselves, but we can never doubt the power of the Kalamullah and the Quran. So this lady says that for 5 years now, we're having problems. And in the last 2 years, extra happened. What happened? That even when we are sleeping, the cockroaches and insects are crawling on us. We called exterminators and we tried everything and nothing was working. However, now you sent us that information, and as you said, must read the Quran, read the Ruqyah, read it loudly, read it from the heart. You know, we do it with power and passion. So we read it For about 3 nights we started reading. But the third night came, alhamdulillah, everything, all that cockroach story, it went to me. Subhanallah. So I told her, see sister, you're saying I come highly recommended, but you contacted me 2 months ago. I never do jinn catching for you. I never do reading of rukyah from my house to your house. Nothing, I done zero for you. You make dua for people in general. But in your case, I have done zero. All I gave you is a system. You applied that system and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed you His power. Although as I'm almost 10 years now involved in rukyah, so when people tell me those incidents, how things happen like that in their life, I'm still fascinated and overawed because I know it's zero me. It's all about the Quran. It's subhanallah, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. So, the point I want to make is that we all have that power. We have the iman. We have the Quran al-Kareem. As if we feel a person who does not know Quran also, can't read Quran. But every Muslim now, what is the 5 pillars of Islam? First is iman, then is salah, isn't it? For salah now, in every mazhab, what we have to do? We have to read qira'ah, we have to read Quran. And also, specific verses of Quran we have to read. Fatihatul Kitab, we have to read Surah Fatiha. In all of our salah, every Muslim across the world, whichever background they come from, they have to read Surah Fatiha, otherwise the salah is not accepted. And what is Surah Fatiha? Surah Tushifa is the Surah of Cure. So you learnt already, you got it. A Sahabi, when they were giving dawah to people, they refused them, they continued on the way. The tribe came back, says, hey, is there Raqi amongst you? One Sahabi says, hey, I know Rukya. So the Sahabi look at you, hey, where you came from now, you know? So he said, no, I know Rukya, let's go back. So we went back, he read Surah Fatiha over the chief of the tribe who had bitten by the snake or a scorpion for 3 days. And it wasn't even a jadu, a magical or a mystical problem, it was a health problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the chief shifa to it. Allah gave shifa. So we all have that iman. We all know, have to, we've got no choice but to learn Surah Fatiha. But now today we learn that when we're reading the Surah Fatiha for shifa and for this, we have to make that strong intention as well. Now sometimes certain persons say, hey, Maulana, you know me, I'm sharp. I got no problem when I read my morning duas, wazaif, I'm on amal, Maulana, nothing can touch me. Okay, no problem. It only affect people who are sinning. It only affect people who are doing wrong. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's nobody more pious, no greater abid, no greater worshipper than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was affected by magic. So if you're affected by magic, yes, it is true, it is correct to say that when I'm on Amal, there are definitely more protections. There's no two ways about that. When I open myself up to sin, then obviously, I'm more vulnerable. That is true. Because there's no Noor in my life, no Amal in my life. But it does not mean that if you've got full Amal in your life, then you can't be attacked and affected. Yes, you can be attacked and affected. As the research says. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did Allah ta'ala reveal to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was affected? The maw'izatain. What's maw'izatain? One of the first time hearing this serious terminology you're coming with. Maw'izatain is that same which when a child is growing up, you teach them out for salah, you teach them Surah Fatiha first. After Surah Fatiha, what you teach them in the surahs? The maw'izatain. Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. That's the first surahs we teach to a child, or if a person accepts Islam now, that's the first surahs we will teach them. So you already have a foundation of cure and shifa. Yes, now you can't read the manzil, and you can't read this ayah for that, and Surah Baqarah, no problem. Read these surahs in abundance. Read these surahs in abundance. Even if you do not know what is wrong with you, Allah Ta'ala, you don't have to know what's wrong, but you apply the antibiotic. Because the doctors also, when they don't know what's wrong with you, what they give you, Maulana, what they give you? They give you a high dosage antibiotic. If this one didn't work, they give you a higher antibiotic. So our antibiotic is the Quran Kareem. Even if I don't know the diagnosis, I don't know what's happening, I don't know nothing. I don't know what type of magic was done, I don't know nothing. All I'm going to do is now, I'm going to learn, if I'm feeling hot, I'll open the window. I'll put the fan on, or put the air conditioner on. I'll drink some water, right? I'll take my jacket off. So there's different levels of getting cool. I'll go for a shower. So each one is more effective than the other. So reading, then you have reading with intention. Then reading and blowing with slight spitting. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he slept every evening, he blew the mu'ayyatayn and he blew on his body, on his blessed body. Then is to read and blow, and then to read and blow into items, into water, into olive oil, into incense, that's bukhur and nuban and that type of thing, and in senna leaves. And we can add on honey, rice, sugar, flour, our medication. We can bring all of those things. We sit down, even if you do not know what intention to make. Wallah, see, I don't know. Wallah, you know. Allah solve my problems. Whether it be evil eye, whether it be jealousy, whether it be magic, whatever it is, Allah, even if it is none of that, even if it is just your hukam that I can't find a partner in life, even if it is your hukam I can't get a job, no jadu, no magic, no nothing, it is takdir from you, Allah. What will change takdir? Dua. So Allah, whatever it be, are you talking to Allah now? And you read, you think in your heart and mind of all your problems, and you read Surah Fatiha. You open these items out, you read Surah Fatiha, you can read it in the heart. Yes, if you read more, the more you read, the more it's going to, powerful it's going to be. You read one time Surah Fatiha over 5 liter, and one time Surah Fatiha over 10 liter. Which is more potent? Obviously the 5 liter. So if I read Surah Fatiha now 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, 100 times, but it doesn't have to be done even in one session. I can read 10 times after every salah and blow in items. I can read 10 times morning, evening. My Yasin, which I'm reading now, daily. My Askar, morning and evening duas. My Durood, my Istighfar. I have these items in front of me. I add on all my intentions, what I learned from my teachers, my Asatiza, in my Jamaat, in the Tasawwuf, in the Khanka, wherever. I'm adding those intentions, I'm adding these intentions all of Rukya now, for Shifa. And I'm blowing in this. So everything of my life, every ibadat of mine now is activated, it becomes rukyah. So I take all these items. Now what I'm going to do with the items? Now normally what we do is that when a person comes through to us and they have the symptoms and they are so-called inverted commas affected, then we will do cupping for them, hijama. Why will you do hijama? Not hijama on its own, but hijama with simultaneous rukyah recitation. Meaning, and once the cups are on your body, it has to be wet cupping, openings in the body, and the rukyah is read at that point in time for you. So that has a vacuuming effect of sihr and jinn from the body. And the penetration of Quran direct into the body, direct fuel injection. You know, those days it was a big thing in the cars, fuel injection, before the carburetors are before that. Huh? So now, that is the vacuuming effect of sihr and jinn from the body when we are doing cupping. Now, you might be staying in a place where there is nobody doing cupping for you. And nobody doing rukyah, no problem. You can get somebody else to do the cupping for you. But they must not put the cups with heavy pressure on you. Just one or two pumps on the gun, so you don't damage your skin, because rukyah does take long to read. And they can put one cup for you, and you can sit down, and you can go to kitab, and you are reading the rukyah verses with the intention. So the person, generally people who do cupping also, they don't like to read for people, because when, as I said earlier on, if you're reading for someone else, the shayateen and the magicians with them are going to attack you. So they don't want to get involved, so to say, in the game. So if you're reading for yourself, then that person is still okay. Alright? Then you're going to do now with these items. As specifically mentioned, the water. So the vacuuming effect is done by the cupping. Then, so this carpet now is all messed up. It's old, dragged, torn, whatever. So we do cupping, it's vacuuming all the dirt out. Then to take the water and wash our body with it every evening. So it has a washing effect. of the sihr engine in the body. That same water, we're not having a problem, is in my house. We should understand that our normal amal is good enough to send out normal inhabitants of the homes and the buildings. I moved a new house, our normal amal is good enough to send them away. Yes, when a person is affected with sihr and jinn and that, then obviously the surroundings also do get affected. So then, now what you can do is, you read the ruqya loudly, you read the surahs, the du'as loudly in your home, and with the intention of chasing all the shayateen, destroying the magic, and that same water, the Quranic water which you read and blew on, put in a spray bottle and spray your house. Those areas where you feel more dark, more presence, or you hear some knocking noises in those places, then you can spray more water in the on those specific areas and spots. And we should not fear. If we hear a jinn in our house, don't worry. They are fearing us more than we fear them. The only thing is that we can't see them. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَا قَبِلُوا مِنَيْثُ نَظُرُّهُ. That's all. But otherwise, if I tell you now, you know, you go to the aquarium, and you go see, they tell you the dolphin show, and tell you this fish here, it can dive so deep in the ocean. We say, MashaAllah, it's a kudat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I take you now to the Drakensberg Mountains, they'll show us the birds. This bird can fly so high up, and now you can put the chicken neck 2 kilometers away. But that bird, the way the eye has, Allah has made the bird, you can see the chicken neck, and it'll swoop in and dive from even 2 kilometers out. So what we'll say, MashaAllah, is the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if I tell you now there's a jinn, can walk through the wall, the jinn can, in 1 second, can be from this end of the world to the other end. You say, you put the blanket over our head, and we get scared. No, that is also the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just a makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need to know what jinn is good, bad, and what jinn is good, and we don't know with no help of no jinn. The good jinn and those jinn got nothing to do with humans. We want Allah's help, we don't want no jinn's help. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Ibrahim alayhi salam, and even Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. What he said, you come on your own or did Allah send you? He said, no, I took permission, Allah gave me permission. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Amma ilayk falah. As for you, I don't need you. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. So in this field, you have to keep it strict that I want only direct Allah's help. Otherwise, the jinn who is attacking you, the jinn can take different forms, shape-shifting, so to say. The jinn can come in the form of a maulana or act like an angel and say, no, I'm here to help you. And then we get deceived by this. We don't know. So keep it safe. Only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got the Quran, alhamdulillah, Allah is with us. So now, with that water, we wash, we spray our home also with it. So it's cleaning up. Then we have the oil. The Quranic oil, you're going to massage it in your body. And just like how when you were reading, you had this intention and that focus. So too when you're washing. So when you're washing your body, you just need about 1.5 or 2 liters of water, depending on the size of your body. So you have a normal bath every evening. Why in the evening after Maghrib, earliest, or even after Isha, also it's fine. But earlier, after sunset, the better, because that's when the shayateen are coming out to play, when we are going to sleep. So that is why people who are affected feel more unwell during the evening time. So we will wash our, have a normal bath. If we stay, we should stand in a dish to catch the Quran water. Out of respect to the Quran water, mustn't go down the drain. As well as the Quranic water burns the jinn. So any jinn got nothing to do with us, we don't attack those jinn. You know, so that's why we don't want them to go down the drain. So we catch the dish and we pour it in the garden where nobody walks. So that's the washing effect on the body. So our intention at what the time we need about after we bath about 1.5 to 2 liters, and if he's taking it in a flat and it's difficult, we put a towel or a blanket to catch that 1.5 liters, and we put the towel in the line to dry. So it makes life easier as well. So that is the washing effect. So the focus as you're washing your body, just like when you are reading as well. Then when you're massaging the oil on your body, obviously now you've got no clothing on. So if you need those places where you're getting blue marks, scratches in your body, unusual pulsating feelings and all of those type of things in the body, then what you will do is, you'll massage the oil all over the body, and specifically on those areas in your mind, you're going to read Surah Fatiha as you're rubbing those areas for Shifa. After you massage the oil in your body, in your head, body everywhere, including the private parts, because they make sihr on the private parts. So the Mufti Sahib asked, he says, Mawlana, see, and also this is one point I'd just like to mention, is that in our field, the treatment is not the objective of where you need to go. But you can go by a Christian, you can go by a Hindu, you can go by a Sangoma. and you can get your shifa. But is the end does not justify the means. The end doesn't justify the means. That is why it's very, very important. In any system anybody is offering us, we ourselves, we need to go to the Darul Iftar to ask the Mufti, Mufti sahab, this is my treatment methodologies. Is it permissible or it is not permissible? We have to find out. So we explain to Mufti sahab, see, when they do magic on people, on the women, on the men also, so they'll do sihr and magic on the private parts as well. So when you have to, when you putting the washing your private parts also with the Quranic water, it's to wash the sihr that's down on those areas as well, for that reason. So there's no desecration of the Quranic. There are fatawa also as well, different mazhab as well, you can wash even with zamzam water. You know, so the ulama ikram, we do have everything documented, we will send you all the proofs for all of that. So that is the reason we have to wash the private parts, everything with Quran. And obviously you're going to have a normal bath first. So your everything is clean, it's bath. So the Quranic water when it goes on would not be now contaminated with napaki and filth, so to say. Then you're going to massage the oils in your body, and then you're going to smoke your body up with incense. Don't go take a scape now, eh? Say rukya. Now, you got your kurta on or a kaftan on, but you don't really have any underwear on, right? So you'll take the loban or oud or agarbatti or whatever you read on. So now you read on it. So the nur of Quran is trapped in it. So when you're lighting it, in the smoke is the nur of Quran. So you can use that to smoke your house up and smoke your body. So you stand over it for about 3 to 5 minutes without any underwear or anything, just the kaftan, or even take a bed sheet and you cover your body. So like to create a contained environment within your body. So now the oiling will have a protective, like you put scotch guard on your carpet and your lounge. So now the oil is like scotch guard now. It has a protective and a penetrative effect. And the smoking with the incense will have a fumigation type of effect. Then you get a senna leaves. Senna makki, you get it normally in the Indian spice shops and all, they sell that. Most laxatives are made from senna. So why are you going to have senna? It's sunnah. Even, you know, COVID time, everybody was having senna, isn't it? So, walau marra fi sana, the mafhum of hadith is that even if you be once a year, you should take senna. So, that is now, you read Quran over the senna, and you read, so you're going to take 2 cups of the Quran water, and 1 tablespoon of the senna. So you're going to take the water, you're going to boil the Quranic water. When it boils, you pour the water into the 1 tablespoon of senna, and you boil it further as well if you want to, and it will come down maybe to about a cup of water. By the time it's boiled, the steam will go off, and you drink it first thing in the morning, half an hour before you eat. It does cause a laxative effect, but different people react differently. So just test it in the day when you are at home and you're not doing anywhere. One man for me, Molana, you block me in the house, I can't go out of my house. So just test yourself, see how it is. So sometimes if your system doesn't really react too much, then it's okay. So this treatment now, you need to do it every day until all your symptoms are and all your problems are gone. Only the senna you don't take every day, because we don't want you to get dehydrated and all those types. You can skip days with the senna depending on how it reacted in your body, right? So what is the objective of the senna? It is to clean yourself of the eaten magic, the eaten sihr, right? So if you have symptoms of eaten sihr, bloating and irritable bowel syndrome, heartburn for no reason and all of those type of things, because the eaten magic can affect you anyway from the entrance to the exit, right? So now the digestive systems and enzymes can't get through the magic, but now this will now remove the eaten magic as well, the sinner, right? So now, must remember, as I said, this is the Quran, nur of Quran is bringing all of these items. And you are applying the nur of the Quran in your life, in different, and your environment in different ways. And you're going to have yaqeen that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to read. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always accept a person's dua, ma lam yasta'jil. What is ma lam yasta'jil? Ma lam yasta'jil means that now today I'm fighting, oh Allah, I want shifa today. Oh Allah, set my problem out today. You're fighting with Allah now. I want it. Please help me, sort it out. And then tomorrow when you wake up, your problem is still there. And then you, again, next day, you talk to Allah, Allah, please help me, sort it out. That is not ma'lam yastajir. You can fight with Allah every day, I want it today, no problem. What is ma'lam yastajir? Oh, now I made dua for 2 days, 3 days, 1 week. Allah never accept my dua now. Finished. Allah not going to accept it. That is now ma'lam yastajir. That now you have given up hope that Allah is going to accept it. Because you wanted it in that time and it never happened. So you continue dedicating yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person making dua and his dua not accepted, Allah, it's a whole big bayan on its own. Safe to say that Allah Ta'ala will quickly, briefly, I'll say that Allah will either accept the dua immediately, Allah will delay your acceptance of the dua and give it to you a little later, or Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala won't give it to you at all because it's bad for you, or Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will remove a calamity that's coming down, your dua will ward the calamity off, or Allah Ta'ala will give you nothing in this world for it. And when you die, Allah will say, this is a mountain of reward for you. You'll say, oh Allah, but I never make that amal. Allah Ta'ala will say, all the du'as you never accept, there's a reward for it. That person at that time will say, oh, if only none of my du'as were accepted. And everything was kept from me. So sisters, brothers, ulama ikram, we have Allah's kalam. And this is a basic treatment which I've shown you. On our website, you'll find all the detailed information. You WhatsApp, we'll send you the PDFs, you know, free of charge also. Why? Because you need now to link yourself to Allah and delegate yourself to Allah. If you're starting running to one person, you'll run to people for the rest of your life. And fafirru ila Allah, we have to run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you got a problem, your child got hurt, and you tell me, Mawlana, make dua for you. I say, oh Allah, sort this person talking about, oh Allah, give the child shifa, look after the health of the child. Right? I will make dua for you, I will feel like your pain. However, you making dua for your own child, your pain is more than mine. And your link and your cry to Allah and your dua will be much more than mine. I'm not saying we mustn't ask. Yes, it's sunnah to ask others for dua. But I'm saying we also need to make a dua and realize that I also as a mu'min have a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have a link, direct open line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, now to ask a person directly, meaning now a person is gone in his qabr, and then now you're asking that person now, the pious person, whoever it was directly, you, O peer or sheikh, you solve my problem. That tawassul is not permissible. But what is permissible? Oh Allah, to the barakah of this person's amal and his piety. Don't look at me, Allah. You know, he was a pious man, he was your close person. And you know, when you got a contact, everybody wants contact today, you know. Just go tell them, I sent you. So when you go there, okay, right, give you a discount because this person sent you. Or they'll do your paperwork, right? Just using a person's name. So we can make tawassul, oh Allah, to the shafa of Nabi, the barakah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accept our du'as. Allah Ta'ala will accept our du'as, right? However, do not doubt ourselves and our communication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is now the basic brief antibiotic I have given you. The moment, the more you read over your items, the more concentrated. So if I put a jungle yam or a uros in a 20 liter bucket, 1 liter of jungle yam uros in a 20 liter bucket or a 30 liter bucket, what's going to happen? And I compare to putting it in a 5 liter. So the more concentration I put, the stronger and potent that mixture is going to be. The less I read, the less it's going to be. Yes, and also adding to the Quran water, it doesn't change it. It weakens the potency. Zamzam is a tabliri, you know, Zamzam converts the other water to Zamzam. However, the Quranic water, when you're reading, it's going to get weaker if you keep on topping up. So if you're topping up, no problem. However, you should read every day. Alright, inshallah. So that's the basic treatment. Now you say you're scared of the jinn. So the jinn is never a problem. The jinn is always secondary. The problem is the magic, or the hasad, or the evil eye, which gave opening and created the weakness in your spiritual immune system, which allowed the jinn to dominate you. The jinn, Allah Ta'ala said that inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. That's the khalifa. I'm going to place a khalifa on the earth. So who was the khalifa? That's what made shaitan so angry and upset, isn't it? He got irritated, man. How you give this insan? I was your abid. I was worshipping you. From this point also, you know, in the movies and in the books, they'll say, the fallen angel. Who's the fallen angel? They're referring to shaitan. If we believe there's a fallen angel, we are out of the fold of Islam. Why? لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يمرون. They don't disobey Allah and they do whatever Allah tells them. Then also, what Allah said, كان من الجن فسق الأمر. He was the jinn and he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a small child sitting with us, adults, the child is sitting with the adult, but doesn't make the child an adult. But he was allowed to sit. When the child was naughty, say, move from here, you're causing problems, yeah, go from here, go play outside now. So shaitan also, when he was wrong, he was a jinn staying with the malaika. And when he caused it, chaos, Allah told him, get out. So this, again, it's another example of the theft and the stealing of our iman in such one small thing. There's propaganda in movies and books and entertainment. So, brothers and sisters, ulama ikram, right, so we're going on saying about the jinn, right? So, a human will always dominate the jinn. Always a human. The Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, the Rusul, it was always that a messenger, whenever a messenger came, it was to the humans, from the humans, and at times, many times, the messenger was also given the duty of being a Nabi and a Rasul for who? For the jinnat also. But there was never a time where a jinn was a Nabi or a Rasul for the humans. Never. Maybe, I don't have a tahqiq, if maybe there were jinnat who were messengers or anbiya amongst themselves in the creation, I don't know. Right? So if anybody knows, you can tell me about it. However, there is never in history that a jinn was a Nabi and a Rasul to who? To the humans. That shows the superiority of insan over who? Over the jinn kind. So don't fight. Now, when a jinn comes to us, I'm sleeping now, jinn is pressing me down. Don't get scared, relax. As they say in English, keep your enemies close. So what we should do, first thing, make intention that what is holding me down, keep it close to me. Allah, keep it close to me. And I read Ayatul Kursi or whatever in my mind, to kill and destroy what is pressing me down. The best form of defense is to attack. So now, I read Ayatul Kursi in my mind. When my tongue becomes free, I'm going to read. When my hands become free, I'll make like I'm holding, like, you know, I'll grip my hands, like I'm trying to hold something, and I'll hold, and I'll read and read and read to kill it and destroy it, not to chase it away. So either the thing will escape us, or either it will have died. But now it's going to think twice to attack you again. It might happen again. All you do is repeat the simple process. And inshallah, this won't happen to you. Because now, you're on the front foot. You're not on the back foot. Change the game. Change the game. This is a spiritual war. Those of us, those people who are affected, they have dreams and nightmares. The fourth category of symptoms, according to the way the magic was done, accordingly, person will see dreams and nightmares. So those dreams and nightmares are very, very real. So we're going to read an ayat before we sleep. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِي بِكُمْ جَمِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Wherever you are, Allah Ta'ala will bring you. Allah Ta'ala is powerful over everything. With the intention that Allah bring all the shayateen and the magicians who are attacking me in my dream and give me dominance over them. Now when you see in the dream people chasing you or things chasing you or fighting with you, for example, you now control that dream, but it's very, very realistic. You stop running, you turn, in the dream now you read Bismillah Allahu Akbar. You can't do it. You might think how I'm going to do it, but you can't do it. When you do it, you'll understand how you did it. And the more treatment you do as your magic and your problems are going lower, it will make you more spiritually strong to control your dream. So you'll fight, you'll kill, you'll destroy. You use your imagination, Bismillah Allah, but Allah, give me a knife, give me a gun. All of it. So it's a world of intention and niyyah. Like in the movies and the cartoons, things just happen like that, isn't it? The person, the jinn wants to shape-shift, it'll just change like that. They want something, it'll just appear out of nowhere. That's the world of jinn which they have introduced us to already. Subliminal programming, or we should say open programming now. So, I will fight back in my dream. At this point, I'll go back and refer to the other what we were discussing earlier, that who done it? Who done it? The person you see in your dream is not necessarily the person who done it. That Allah knows now. The only being that shaitan can't take the form of is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِسُورَةِ أُوْكَمَ بَالِسُّ السَّلَامِ. But otherwise, now, every time I go to my brother's house, I'm getting sick. Eating there, I'm getting sick. Then I think every time, I'm eating everywhere else, my mind is going now, the waswasa, shaitan is coming to think. A waswasa of the shaitan is a thought in the mind. When a person thinks, who created Allah, is not your thought, it's been a whisper of the devil. That's a whisper. Whisper doesn't mean that you hear somebody say, No. A thought in your mind is the whisper of the shayateen. All positive and good is from Allah and yourself, and all negative and filth is from the waswasa of the shayateen. So they whisper to me, hey, you know what? When you go to your brother's house now, you are getting what? You are getting sick. You are getting sick. So you say, hey, okay, but never mind, it's alright. Now what happens? When I go to sleep in a dream now, I'm seeing my brother's wife. She's speaking the Tagati, Pagati. Pagati means Zulu, means inside. So Tagati is magic. So Tagati, Pagati, putting the magic inside. Now I say, yeah, but I say, you see, I thought, you see, they are lagawing in Gujarati, Urdu, they say lagawing, they're putting for us. So now, we know more great. Sisters and ulama ikram, see, when a person is framed for a murder, it can happen, isn't it? So what will happen is, eaten sihar can be in your own home. When you don't make zikr on the food, when you're cooking, all that. The shayateen in the unseen, in your own privacy of your own home, which the food which you bought with your own money, sihar can be put in your own food. It's possible. It doesn't have to be eaten by somebody else. They send the jinn with the magic, the jinn can put the magic in your food. So what happened now, in reality, the truth is this, that my brother is innocent. But there is other people who do not want my brother and I to be close. So they are now putting the sihar in my brother's food. And when I'm eating it, I'm getting sick. But they are innocent people. They never did anything like that. And the jinn will take the form of my brother's wife or my brother and show that now in the dream that they are putting. I made istikhara, Sheikh. I saw it in a dream, man. I got ilham. This is what happened. So what they have done, by you stopping and cutting off family ties as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have made the magician's plan succeed. You see that? If you're doubting anybody, read blow with the food, then the Quran will neutralize the sihr in the food and you eat the food. Otherwise, how are you going to live your life by doubting every person in your circle? We do jinn catching, so the jinn come and say so and so did it. If I go to the Qazi will give me, how many lashes, Maulana? 80 lashes for false accusation. But jinn catching is no Sharia proof. You can tell the Qazi, no, I got a dream, and made istikhara, another 80 lashes. You would say, no, the Maulana burnt the clock, and when he burnt, the smoke came over there, I saw this, but my mother-in-law's face I saw over there. Huh? So now what happens? That is false accusation. It doesn't stand in Islamic court of law. Unless you see the person making sihar with your own eyes. That is a different situation. Right? But in all of these things, they cannot be used as proof. So even you yourself cannot. And as I said earlier, even if you know who did it, what difference does it make? What can you do? So you're going to fight Ola, return to sender, and ask Allah to fight for you. Ola, you know, I don't know. Ola, you return it to sender, and who is good for me, you bring them close to me, who is bad for me, you take them out. That's all you do, you talk to Allah. So in the dreams, it doesn't mean that that person specifically made sihar for you. But they can come in different forms. But all you're going to do now in your dream, you're going to say, this is war, you're going to fight, kill and destroy whatever you see in your dream. That's your fight back in the jinn world also as well, inshallah. Right? When you're having a bad day, what you can do is you take your Quranic water that you read Quran on, you can soak your feet in it, like in a foot spa, you can put the essential oils. You can read the ruqya over the essential oil also. You can read the ruqya. You can take the Quranic water, put also you're having problems in the night, things are talking to you and things in the room. Put your Quranic water in the humidifier. Or the air purifier, so while you're sleeping, that water is not going in the air in the room, mashallah. You see? Now, you can soak your hands, legs in the Quranic water, take a dish, soak your hands in it, and you can read Surah Falaq 100 times, Surah Nas 100 times, and you can leave your items open at the time, sitting, focusing with shifa, and cleaning your entire body. That's it. If you're doing ruqya now, and you feel that you're getting better, but you keep on having setbacks, so what you should do is that you read, we call it the curse salah. What is the curse salah? So it is a salah, nafil salah, salah til hajat, salah of need. So how you read the salah? You read two rakats at a time. You can read two rakats a night, or every second night, depending how much himmat you got to fight, but you need to do that. So the best is to read, you know, tahajjud salah, 8 rakats of tahajjud, 3 rakats of witr. So after surah Fatiha, we're not going to read another surah. We're going to read one ayat. رَبَّنَا آتِيهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَالْعَنُمْ مِنَ الْكَبِيرَةِ رَبَّنَا آتِيهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَا give them a double punishment. وَالْعَنُمْ مِنَ الْكَبِيرَةِ give them a great curse. So this ayat now, you read it with the intention of returning everything to the senders, and you think how you're suffering, your wife, your family, the all the difficulties you're going through, and you use that passion for begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you read that ayat 100 times per rakat. 100 times per rakat. So altogether we end up 1100 times. 1100 times. If you want, you can read 2 rakats a night. No problem. Right? So the tartib of the salah is, as I said, is normal. The only thing in place of a surah, after surah Fatiha, you read this one ayat 100 times. On this point comes, hey, Mawlana, you're playing now. See, you give me so much to read. What I must do so much? See, the idea is the more you read, if I take a hammer and I bang this wall and I say I'm going to put this wall down, how long it will take me? If I take a 5-pound hammer, it'll be quicker. Take a 10-pound hammer, it'll be quicker. If I take a jackhammer, quick. So the more I do, that's why we have so much things to do. Not just reading, trapping the nur, bathing, oiling, incensing, the hijama, everything. Why? To take a person quicker to where they need to go. Because that's what we want. So the more you do, the higher the chance. If Allah will, just by Bismillah, Allah can give you shifa. This is Allah's choice. But you do more in terms of cause and effect and asbab, Allah will take you quicker where you need to go, inshallah. Alright? So that's basically the treatment. Okay? That's our antibiotic, as we said. We'll take a 2-minute break, Mawlana, just give everybody a listening. And then, okay, we'll continue just after about 2-3 minutes, just to give you a break. We're going to we're going to go with how do I know. I started off with that in case anybody needed to go. At least now they got the solution, you know. Sometimes everybody knows their own problem. Allah knows unseen, I do not know your problem. So you know your problem, we have given you the antibiotic, you apply it, Bismillah, Allah Ta'ala will give you a shifa, inshallah. But we'll go to how to identify if a person is affected, if I am involved in this or not, and we'll discuss that briefly, inshallah.